Let me at a throne of mercy, by the dust we
Stanley Kay, please keep Brother Stanley.
I was enjoying last night and today, and had someone say to me that pretty much was certain that my time in the pulpit would come this afternoon. And when you're thinking about speaking to God's people, and you certainly want to be understood, and you want to make sure that your understanding of the scripture is adequate to the task, and as we say, that sometimes we just don't have light on a particular topic. And sometimes, as the brother just said, that it's not like that we feel that the gospel is wasted or the word is wasted or that somehow or another our life is incomplete if we have questions. It is our nature to be questioning, and sometimes our nature gets in the way of living in the truth, trusting God. I had a person tell me not too long ago that they're just trying to find some understanding about the age of the earth that we mentioned in light of all of the fossil records and in light of the things that science and everyone has had. You know, the things they've discovered, and like the mountains rearing up, and that's men explaining things. And I told this person, I said, when God created the earth, I said, it was a dynamic creation.
Exactly.
In the midst of, you know, it wasn't that everything was like the little acorn that sprouted to make the tree. There was the oaks there and the acorns there and the young and the old. And it's kind of like I said to her that, I said, did you ever see a film that's run like 8 times the normal speed and go, and everything is in there, but it happens in a flash. I don't know how God made the earth, but I do know that by wisdom, that's God's wisdom. The world, by wisdom, its wisdom, knows not God.
That's true.
We hear many things in the world of religion, theology today, that men are striving to find, to know God. And they're doing everything they can to know God. And in fact, much of the time, they're doing everything they can to deny God. And they keep thinking they'll paint God into a corner and voila, he's gone. We don't have him to deal with anymore. Now the masses can listen to us. And we do know better. You know, so once you convince the world that there is no God, then you have an audience that is ripe for plucking. You have sheep that are ready to be fleeced. and men crave power, and there is corruption in this world abounding, and men would to this very day use every system that's known to men that they might usurp the authority of God and be rulers in this world. That's plain and simple, okay? That's human nature. Did you ever see a household where a two-year-old was in control? Wonder how that happens. Really? Because that's the nature. And if you don't resist a two-year-old, he becomes a 15-year-old that literally controls the agenda of the day. And sometimes that person never has or never comes to the realization that this world really doesn't revolve around you.
Right.
This world is, you know, we're teaching children these days that to be assertive, okay? And I've often thought, like a child I saw this morning, it's like, I would like for my mother to have been there and taken the child outside and given a lesson in being assertive. Okay? It's like he would have not come back the same person. Okay? He would have had a different mindset. And when we think about life in this world, and we think about the circumstances of religion, and we think about how men think, we have faced so many things, and to ponder what will be, and as it was mentioned, and I didn't realize how many things I had started people thinking about when I just wondered what a spiritual body would be like. Yeah. I'm closer home now than I've ever been.
Me too.
It may be soon. I know it won't be long. Okay, I'm positive of that. And I sit on the porch in the mornings and I watch the morning unfold, and I watch nature as it goes through its changes, and I watch the rise and the flow, or the flow of water slow down in the stream in front, and you think about those things and those seasons that come and the seasons go. And I've been there in other summers, but I'm finding differences now, and the differences is not in the deer, it's in the differences in me.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how many people go through those same things. I'm sure that it's a kind of a natural progression with God's people. And the more I learn, the more I realize, the greater is my confidence that there is a day to come when every word of God will be vindicated by the display of things that God will make when the end times come. Now, we might be 10,000 years from end times, but it's all the same with God. Whenever it is, I know John says and tells us that, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In other words, I kind of feel like John felt, okay? Just, I'm not saying I'm fed up with this world, but I don't have any expectations from it anymore. None. Okay? People say, well, isn't it a tragedy? Isn't this, or I don't expect any different. I don't expect it to heal itself, okay? I think the only purification for this earth is fire. And the minute you say that, there are people who are still looking to get things worked out in this world, and you become a suspect of a subversive Lord, deliver us from the subversives. Lord, deliver us from the truth believers. Lord, deliver us from those who think that it'll be really like God said it would.
Right.
I don't know how many people believe in me anymore as far as a person. In the last months, I have been more or less told not to press too hard with the doctrine. I've been more or less put in a position of where it's like, well, you know, maybe you ought to be kinder. I'm not trying to be, okay? I'm not man's servant. I'm God's servant. That's and good. I'm pitiful at it. But I can really tell you the number one thing that makes it right is to understand this world is a phony, phony place. And it is filled with things and people that would deny the power of God. And I don't want anybody to measure their life by mine. But as for me and my house, as far as Joshua was concerned, we don't want any of the gods before the flood. We don't want any gods of this world where we live. We'll serve the true and the living God. Because none of the others will help you. In fact, they will do you harm. Okay? The scripture is plain that the children of Israel at times march their children through the fire to false gods. You know, we think only the uneducated somewhere off in the crazy environs of the world and where the sun doesn't shine or where there is no not that only those people sacrifice their children to false gods. Well, I'm going to tell you, we have children dying in the streets of America today that have been sacrificed to false gods. It's not a mystery. It's not a lie. We have children that are suffering from lack of bread in a country where there's more bread made than there is anywhere else in this whole world. Okay? I'm a capitalist. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. But that doesn't make me believe in everything that takes place in this world, okay? I'll tell you what I believe in. I believe in the Word of God. And I believe that God is an absolute sovereign, as we've heard here this morning. When the Scripture says, our God is in the heavens, He's done whatsoever He's pleased, God is long-suffering. Does that mean that there's things going on in the world today that God approves because they continue? Absolutely not. God is long-suffering. It pleases Him to suffer certain things. But that doesn't mean that those certain things meet God's approval other than in due course. This world doesn't meet God's approval, but in due course, God will have His way. And in the meantime, we have a kingdom that is God's kingdom here in this world. We're called into it. We have been lightened in our hearts and minds into it. And the number one thing when folks say, well, you need to understand that you can't press too hard. I wish I'd have pressed harder all of the time I've ever been preaching, okay? I wish that the sincerity that so much scared me would have come out of me easier in those times. That I'd have been less concerned about how I looked. I told Brother Nichols one time, I didn't care if I looked like a camp meeting preacher. That really doesn't bother me. If you can't stand the enthusiasm of religion, you wouldn't have fit in on the day of Pentecost, I can tell you, okay? And that's the day that the Church of the Living God set sail. I mean, that's the day that the wind is in the sails, and I mean, it's moving. So if that's the kind of preaching that that the world doesn't want, then that's okay. And sometimes people want preaching to be real short and sweet, okay? Well, I depend on God to make it sweet. And I don't know how to make it short because it's a big story. I don't know what it's like when somebody goes to sleep up in the loft when the Apostle Paul is preaching all night and falls out. And the only thing I know that's even close to that is go to an association meeting down in the hills and sit out in the grove and listen to men preach for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Only thing I know about the gospel is what God has put in my heart. And I know what it's like to sit in the church house.
Right.
And sit with my grandmother.
Right.
Who didn't have a thing in the world to hide from anybody. Nothing. And I would sit there with her, and she'd reach over and take me by the leg and say, "I'm feeling him now."
Yeah. Yeah.
When the preacher was up. You and I all know that preaching that you don't feel is just about a fighting the air, as the Apostle Paul said. Okay? It's vain. If there's not a message in it, if there's not a power, you know, Paul preached, said, in the power and demonstration of
Spirit.
The Spirit.
Amen.
If I come to you today to preach the text I'm going to get to, if I come to preach to you today, in the power of my intellect, I am a fool. And if you believe I have it, you're likened unto me. I believe in the mystery and the power of the Spirit of God in the church house. And if you can't believe, if you're not into that, okay, then you need to be in one of the places where they have outreach programs that are designed specifically for you and your little world of troubles, okay? And you can get a psychologist to come, but a psychologist will tell you today they have never cured anyone. So if you're going to see the shrink, you better plan that into your long-term retirement budget because it's going to be on forever. So what is about the gospel that is pleasing? It does not please the world that is looking to be told it's okay and what they can get by with. Okay? You and I have to accept that there are some understanding things that we need to have. Okay? That one of the first things that will ever make any one of us understand anything about God is that God tells us who He is. If we look in the first epistle of Peter, he says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." You know, some folks think that Peter, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, when we think about, yes, he was the first one to preach to the Gentiles. He was the immediate one called by the Lord Himself, okay? That's the foundation of being an apostle, okay? That he was a witness of of Jesus Christ and called by Him and sent. We also heard this morning that Peter still had something about him, okay, that needed to get worked out, because the first thing he said, let us build here 3 tabernacles, one to Moses, one to Elijah, one to the law, one to the prophets, and one to the Lord. And the Lord says, can't you hear it?
Yeah.
This is my son.
Yeah.
Hear him.
Amen.
I'm not concerned about Elijah anymore.
Right.
And when I do find a concern about Moses, I understand that everything that Moses represented, that Jesus Christ fulfilled.
Right.
When all of the law and all of the prophets spoke, and on everything that the prophets and the law pointed to was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The law and the prophets were until whom?
John.
And since then, what? The kingdom is preached. Okay? And there are people today that's still trying to figure out. My barber says, well, all a man has to do is live by the law. Just don't break the commandments. You'll be fine. Good luck with that. I mean, listen, friends. If you have no idea what the law was for, okay, the law wasn't a remedy, okay? You know, that's one thing. I took pain pills forever and a day when I was sick, okay? You know, that don't really help you. Just help you forget. I mean, after a while, you're just kind of numb, okay? So when you try to get off of the pain pills, you have that problem, okay? And really and truly, they don't enhance the healing. There's doctors all over the world prescribing pain pills because they don't really know what to do for people that have broken hearts. People that have trials and tribulations, okay? My stars. Pioneers in West Virginia knew how to run a moonshine still, knew better how to take the edge off of pain, okay? I mean, it may sound strange, but it's the kind of thing that we don't see ourselves repeating over and over because we have ills in this world that are not going to be solved by science, are not going to be solved by getting things worked out. They're going to be solved. And when we think about the solutions, when Peter is writing here, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he's not going to give you the Jews' solution. He's not going to give you the Sanhedrin court's solution. He's not going to give you the pagan's solution. He's going to give you the word of whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I just noticed as I was looking for something else the other day, and I'm prone. If you see me with my telephone over there, or over here, I'm not talking on the telephone. I'm reading. I'm looking like the other brethren would look at the scriptures. Please don't fault me for that. I just don't want to fight that battle. I just want to be free to read where I can read. Okay? But when you look at it and you look something up and then you go to this and then you realize, well, that's not what the word really says. And you look and you compare and you're reading a translation that is totally different than what you have. So you have to watch where you read. Right. Hasn't the Lord told us, take heed what you hear? Isn't that true? Amen. You know, if you're going to take heed what you hear, do you want to hear it from... do you want to hear it from authority or do you want to hear somebody's hearsay, okay? If I want to know something about God, I'm not going to look at... I read some Gill, I read some this, and I read some that, okay? But if I want to understand the Word of God, okay, anything those brethren write, or what Brother Gary, or Brother John, or any of the other brethren, going to have to satisfy with what? The Word of God.
Amen.
Now I hear things preached sometimes don't have a thing in the world to do with the Word of God. Have everything to do with what somebody thought in their head. Okay? And that's abhorrent. And I feel sorry for the person that can't distinguish those things. But the simple fact of the matter is that we're told to preach what?
The Word.
The Word. And when we think about what the Word is, if Paul or if Peter is called as an apostle of Jesus Christ and his job is to right, evidently, and his job was preaching the gospel, as Paul's job was preaching the gospel, Paul didn't say, well, how late tonight can I preach, Lord? Preach as long as the Spirit is with you. You preach when the message is important. You preach, okay? My uncle used to say, well, you know, our attention span in the head is about as long as the tension span in our behind, okay? You see how that works, okay? After a while, you got to get the kids up and let them move around the room so they're not just stiff and bored. So we don't have meeting all night. But I can tell you, do you think it wasn't a special occasion when the apostle was preaching all night? Do you not think it was a special occasion on those times when there was a man that got joined to a eunuch who was on his way somewhere else, and all of a sudden, there he is, okay? And then next thing you know, seeing here is water, man is bad. The eunuch's baptized. Next thing, whoo, he's gone somewhere else. Okay? You think God is not capable? Do you think God needed anybody to go to Africa and born people out of His Spirit? No, because just like Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ and he's going to preach the gospel of Christ, there was one that said to Christ, I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, you go here and do this, and you go there and do that, and guess what? He does it. You don't need to come to my house. You see, I just hear this just get glossed over, okay, when they start talking about a man under authority. In other words, he just says, I'm a man that I have somebody that's over me, I'm under them, but I have men that are under me, and I send them to go do something, and he does it.
Right.
You don't need to come to my house, just say the word.
Right.
Do you realize that? And do you know when they met him coming back in the way, they said, well, when did the boy get better? About the time that the one that was under authority said, you don't need to come to my house, just say the word. When Peter was in the room with that woman, who was it? Dorcas? Okay? Arise. Just say the word. You know, people got the idea that, well, you know, Peter pretty powerful. But if you go to the story about the impotent man, and he said, why are you looking at us as though that we, by our power, gave this man the ability and the power to stand up on his feet after being impotent for what? 28 or 30? 40 years, right?
Yeah.
40 years. What was it? Am I right in putting it together? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give you. I don't have much. I listened to old Pine, what I would call frontier spirited preachers all of my life as a child. They didn't have anything, but what they did have, they give it away. You know, people talk about in the old West Virginia preachers that preach for a chicken. My dad might have preached for a chicken, but he'd go give it to somebody else. And that wasn't the precious gift he had. It was to do as Peter had, was to give them the Word of God. And when he says this, he said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, this is the part I would like to, okay? He's preaching to Jews, but they've been scattered. And like us, if we're Jew, if we're true children of God, we're Jews inwardly, okay? And we're scattered, okay? I was just thinking this morning, I think Brother John was from Eastern Maryland, like way over. Gary's from here. Brother Danny Parker's like way out in Kentucky, possum trot. And by the way, how did we all come to this congregating together? I didn't come because I knew Gary. I didn't get this way simply because I knew my dad. I was brought up in the church. But I will tell you who gathers and brings men to the truth. And that is searching the truth, going after where the truth is preached, and where the brethren gather together, where men of like minds, hearts, seek to hear the story of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God elected us. I mean, you know, do we really understand what election means? That election means that God chose us. And we heard that text preached this morning. That first of all, God by His decrees has determined that every man, woman, and child is guilty. Okay? That all of the world might be guilty before Him. Okay? It may break your heart, it may break mine, that the little babies that we hold in our arms are sinners, but by nature, okay? We talk about a two-year-old controlling a household, and we come, we look at it and we say, poor little thing, and all of this. Bob Dickerson said, if it could get up out of that crib when it's hungry, it would tear your face off. You see, people don't understand, that's the nature of human beings. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, that we are sinners. And you know, that's a hard pill to swallow when you think about all of the things that man has accomplished. As we say in the world, the great hospitals that are built, all of the benevolent organizations, all of the things that are for the help of men here in the world. Who do you think inspired that? One of two things. Either God and of His goodness inspired men, or men built it as a monument to their own glory. And that's the glory that God will not let stand. I won't give my glory to another. No, I will not do it. And when we consider this, that Peter is saying and preaching the doctrines that Christ taught, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God knew us, okay, before there was an us. God knew us before there was this earth. And the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, what sets us apart? What makes that election known to us? Because we're set aside by the Spirit of God. When did that start? You think that just started like yesterday? You think that just started on Pentecost? We need to get these things in order. We need to understand that this is the way God has always been doing these things. God has always been setting His people apart, manifesting Himself to them through the Spirit, okay? And that when Joshua is on the battlefield, or David's with his pen, or the prophet is looking into the future and prophesying and teaching and thinking and meditating about the things that are to come, I am telling you that He's not asking men to teach Him. He is giving the revelation that is of God. How's God in touch with them? How many prophets do you think saw a vision? Let me give you something for instance. You know that Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and there was this thing that he saw that it had cherubims, it had wings and all of these things. And he said, part of it did this, part of it walked, part of it flew. Well, how much is that like exactly what Ezekiel saw? How much of that is exactly what John saw, or we read of in the book of Revelation? I couldn't begin to tell you what that was, but I know the men that saw it were struck with the absolute glory of seeing that. God reveals. I wouldn't know what it would be like to see that. I wouldn't preach. I wouldn't try to preach to you what the wheel in a wheel was, because I don't know. I don't have any light on that. My mind is not that good. My heart is just heavy sometimes. But I know what I know is that when John said the disciple that Jesus, or the one that Jesus loved, he was overcome that God loved him.
Amen.
David was overcome that God loved him. Peter says that we're elect to that, and we're put in tune with that. We're sanctified by the Spirit. What does that mean? We're born again. We're set apart. Now here, we're set apart, and it says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know how that's taken by many in the world? That we're set apart unto obedience. We're sanctified unto obedience. No, we're not. You've got to get the right understanding of this scripture. We're sanctified and set apart unto the obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. His obedience. Not mine. Not yours. Our obedience in the faith is commendable. God walks with us. He teaches us. He shows us. And when we walk in fellowship with Him in faith, by following the teachings of His Word, and by not resisting the Spirit, and by not forgetting the admonitions that He's made. Okay? We have fellowship. Last weekend we heard people speaking over and over about fellowship with God. We're never going to fall out of fellowship. We're never going to fall out of kinship with God. We're never going to fall out of being elected. We'll never fall out of God's family. Our adoption will never be declared null and void. But sometimes we may not have joy in Christ. David says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Okay, he had lost something. Do you ever get up some mornings and think, "I've lost something"? I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm just like a noodle. Okay, I don't have nothing. Well, I can tell you something. That sometimes when that's where we are, we're ripe to understand, okay? That in this world, in this time, that we rely on a God who is a covenant-keeping God. And that from first to last, He does everything for us that we can't do, enabled us for everything He calls us to do, and that when we fall out of fellowship with Him, it is by our own falling away. But we haven't lost heaven. We've lost joy. And I am telling you that we are losing joy at a very fast pace, in my estimation, among the churches, among the brethren, because we have our mind set on things that are absolutely frivolous as far as this world is concerned and our life is concerned. I long for the simple days when we had the kind of things that made men joyful. We have too much, okay? I don't want to give up a thing that I've got. But I know there's some things that we've lost in this world that meant more to my parents and my grandparents than money, if they had ever had any money, that money couldn't buy. And you know what that is? It's one of those things in the songs we sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." Okay? My grandmother never had two nickels to rub together in all of her life. But I'm telling you, she had a song in her mouth all of the time. She worked from daylight till dark. She knew how to do 10,000 different things. My dad and mother followed in their footsteps. And do you know what? They could go to the church, to the house of God, and listen to preaching and rejoice and never think about what time it's going to get home. So if you jump on me because I take too long sometimes, blame my grandmother. That's all right. Okay? But what is the facts? We need to understand that there is something about a stranger, a broken and a castaway and a dispersed, that are Jews inwardly, because God has sanctified us by His Spirit and He's touched our heart, okay? And that He has made us understand that we belong to Him. And that what we have to trust in is not our obedience, but His obedience to the things that God sent Him to do. And I will tell you this. He says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Mercy. There's two things that old Baptists like. One's grace and one's mercy. Okay? You know what grace is? Getting something you don't deserve. You know what mercy is? Not getting what you did deserve. That's it, plain and simple. Okay? I deserved to be on that cross. I deserved to be my legs broken. I deserved to be cast into the pit. I deserve to die an everlasting death. I deserve for sin. And people say, "Well, you're not a bad man." Listen, I'm not talking to you about being a criminal. I'm just telling you that God's just and holy law, if you ever once have it written in your heart, you'll know who you are. There was a little woman that wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She said, "If I could just touch it, I'll be whole." And what did He say? "Who touched me?" That's how close He is to us. And I will tell you that there were those that men would not even look upon that men wouldn't touch, that men wouldn't have anything to do with. But I am telling you that Jesus Christ deigned to come where they were. What? In the low ground of sin and sorrow. And do you think that it was easy? He shall see the travail of his soul. And this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, not a dead hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Everybody's worried about their inheritance these days. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's waiting. It's up there. You know, people said, well, I go away to be, he said, I go away to prepare a place. And, you know, like he's over there hammering out heaven. No, heaven's been there.
Yeah.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you because there was this particular thing that had to happen to make us fit subjects for heaven.
Absolutely.
Even if he loved us. Even if the whole world accepted every word of the gospel. If the whole wide world fell at the feet of God today, at the feet of Jesus, that'd be a great victory for the world, wouldn't it? I mean, they'd think, well, that's pretty good. But I'm telling you, if all of the world fell before the feet of God this very day and cried out, Hosanna, like the few poor common people did when he rode into Jerusalem, I am telling you, he would still have to die.
Yes.
Why? Because it took that to appease the wrath of God for sin here in this world.
Right.
He had to. So when people talk to you about the useless death of the Lord of glory, it wasn't useless. That's my salvation.
Right. Amen.
He said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's over there. And then fifth verse, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What a marvelous thing. You see this? Heaven's over there.
Right.
It's reserved over there. Right. You ever get reservations at a restaurant and you go in and lo and behold, you're 5 minutes late and they gave it to somebody else. Okay, well, that's because the maitre d' is keeping that, or whoever it is, the hostess, and she gets impatient. Our God's not impatient.
Nope.
There is a place for God's children in heaven's pure world.
Amen.
Okay? It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. We're talking about some things that are here in my understanding,
right.
But we're also talking about there's a place over there. Did you ever get that thing in the mail that says occupant? Okay. Well, there's a place over there, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm the occupant, okay?
Right.
I and God's children will be in that place that God has made for them.
Absolutely.
I couldn't tell you if there's an oak tree over there, but I know the Lord is over there. And if you ask me not to wonder about it, you're asking me to be incredulous about particular things. I just know I'll be happy. And I anticipate it in my days. And I anticipate it in my nights. And I long to see the Savior that bowed His head and died for me. I long to see the God that reared up the mountains and made a dynamic earth. I long to see the God, my friends, that watches over my dust when I'm lying in the grave. I long to see all of those things because the mysteries of this world no longer intrigue me, and the questions of men do not stir my heart like the questions I have about God's eternal glory. I want to know what the cherubims and the wings and all of that glory looks like. That's what I want to know. And I know the answers are not here. We're kept by the power of God for a place that is ours. And when I make the reservations, I had to cancel them last week because I wasn't going to make it. Okay? Well, there's nobody canceling my reservations for over there. Okay? That's not happening. Because we're kept by what?
Power of God.
By the power of God. Do you think that some of God's people fall away? I'm afraid they do. And the only thing I have to keep me from falling away is that I trust in God to keep me. Okay? My wife is with me today, yesterday. Marvelous thing, okay? And she looks after me, okay? But I tell you, the day's coming when I won't look after her and she won't look after me. And that we may look at each other in sickness, we may look after each other in sorrows and all of those things, but I am telling you that there is trials and tribulation that will come to you in your life that the earthly hands of man cannot reach, cannot heal, cannot fix. And I am telling you there is a time when sickness and disease will overcome this body, and that whether we live long or whether we live short, I am telling you the day is coming and the time is that God will call us away. But then there is a day, my friends, when we're sleeping in the dust of the earth and the voice of God will call, and my friends, the dead in their graves will hear and they will answer.
Amen.